we began a running gun battle with the North Vietnamese as they were chasing us. We were trying to keep them back from us. We ended up sliding down into a canal. And after most of the North Vietnamese ran past us, we slowly came out of there. And using our radios, we had the famous words from any long-range patrol team, "We've been compromised, and we need an extraction." I guess Mel decided that he had nothing better to do that night and couldn't sleep. He was insomniac, or he was some kind of maniac, I think. And he was one of the pilots that came to pull us out, and we needed to give him a signal. So I climbed out of the canal, and as a team leader, I carried a strobe light taped to my webbing. I took that off, and I taped it onto my car 15, and I held it up and let it flash three times, and then I turned it off.
You have to understand, this was at night. There is no ambient lighting. There are no street lights. We are running without any running lights. There are no lights, so all you hear is the wop, 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 wop of the rotor blades. So Ed, when he mentioned the strobe light, that's the thing that stood out more than anything else, was that light. And I'm always reminded of that phrase, "It's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness." Ed lit that candle, and he knew that it had to be very brief, and he was hoping that someone would see them. The thing is, everything did work out. Everything clicked. You go back in the middle of the night. Everybody gets off the aircraft. You don't exchange business cards at 20 years old and say, 44 years from now, let's meet at Starbucks and have coffee and talk about this. And so what I was interested in, and I've never asked Ed this, is, Ed, what prompted you to write that article in the American Owl Division newsletter that started this in 2005?
Well, like many people, I came home with a dose of PTSD, which wasn't certainly unique. And as part of my therapy, I needed to reach out to people that had some connection with me. And I had a friend who I asked him if he would put a little blurb or something in a newsletter, and he did, and that's when Mel contacted me.
When I received the American Owl Division newsletter, it was March of 2005 issue. Matter of fact, I have a copy of it. I still carry it with me to this day. I was thumbing through it like I always do, trying to see if I recognize anybody in the photos. Of course, everybody's bald and fat now. But I happened to notice the editor's section, and there was a small article. But when I read it, it just said, "My name is Ed Carey. I was with G Company, 75th Rangers. I'm looking for the crew of the warlords who rescued us on Easter of 1969. That's the way it started. It was several days before I would acknowledge that, oh, this was a mission that I was on, or I think it was on. Honestly, it was my wife that prompted me to write Ed back, contact him, and said, "Honey, write him, put your stories together, see if they meld. And if they do, it's a good reunion. If it doesn't, you've made another friend, you know, and you could probably help him get somewhere else." Well, it did, and I was surprised when I got Ed's response, because Ed very quickly said, "I'm the one with the light," because that mission, as it stood out in Ed's mind, always stood out in my mind. I've told that story over and over about that light in that valley and how in pitch-black darkness this one light shone. Even now, the hair on my arms stands up just to think about that light. We have never met. Ed, have you seen me before?
Have I seen you before? No, I'd like to. Well, I saw it in the post office, but I digress.
And Ed keeps sending me pictures of John Wayne. I don't understand that.
Well, me either. There's something with the internet. It's all screwed up. When I got this contact back from Mel, it solidified in my mind that yes, this was a true occurrence, and even though my memory was foggy, that somebody has verified that I was there and that I did these things. It was good to know that somebody remembered me, and I remembered them, but never had a chance to walk up and say, put my arm around them and say, "Thanks for doing that."
When Ed contacted me, until then, it was like a surreal thing, one of those that's in your mind all the time, but you can't share it with anybody. You might as well see a UFO because you can't share it with anybody. But when you get a validation like Ed, and Ed gets a validation from me, you go, you know, we shared that moment. It did really happen. And I think the most wonderful thing that can come out of that is a great friendship I can't wait to put my arms around that big guy myself and just say, welcome home.
Well, I've gotten taller, Mel.
When you're
on the ground and people are shooting at you, even your buttons are too thick.
Well, I'm not as big as you think I am because I was sitting high up in that helicopter, okay?
Really? Somebody told me you had...
Watch it.
Telephone directories that you sat on that had little blocks on the pedals.
Absolutely.
Good.
Ed, I just want to say to you, welcome home. And when you come to Birmingham, we're really going to give you a big welcome.
Thanks, Mel.